Shavua Tov. Let's talk about the Ramban at the end of Parshas Ki Teitze on the Pasuk Zochares Asher Osa Amolek. Says the Ramban, Kfar Eskarti HaMedrash Adarshu Bo B'Sifra Yochel B'Libcha. I might think that I could be Mekayim Zechir B'Lev Kshu Omer Lo Tishkach HaReishichas HaLev Omer HaMani Mekayim Zochar Shetehishonim B'Ficha. V'chein b'sifri starts with the sifra and he goes on to the sifri. Zochres asher osel cha molik b'peh lo tishkach b'lev. Says the Ramban, lo yadati maya zchira zu b'peh im lomar shenikra parshas amolik b'tzibur v'nimtzenu Lemedim min haTorah b'shniya zohar v'yesmach lemikra megila min haTorah. In other words, according to the Ramban, Kriyas Parshas Zohar is min haTorah, and we have a smach for mikra megila min haTorah. Tosfos read megila daf chaf similar. So let's try to understand. Even though Zechira means Zohar Bepeh, how do we know that you have to read a parsha of Amalek in the Torah? And even if I agree that Zohar is Bepeh, that means that we have to read parshas Amalek in the Torah, but how does that set up a smach for Mikra Megillah in the Torah? Let's take a look at the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Ches. Kara al peh lo yotza minolan. How do we know that if you read the Megillah al peh, you're not yotze? Omarova asya zchira zchira. Ksiv hacha vayomim ha'ilin is karim v'nasim. Ksiv hasam ksov zos zikarin b'sefer. Malhalin b'sefer, afkan b'sefer. So we take the pasuk of ksov zos zikarin b'sefer, and we take the b'sefer, and we put it into Hayomim ha'elu nizkarim. And this zechira has got to be bepeh, besefer. It's got to be besefer. So the Gemara asks, "Umi mai dahai zechira kriya hi dilma iud ba'alma?" Perhaps zechira means that we should study it and we should think about it. Doesn't mean we have to read it. Lo salkadak the sanya zocher yochel b'lev kshu omer lo sishkach reishichas alev omer hamani makayim zocher b'peh. So it seems that we derive from gzeir shav zechira zechira that kriyas hamigila needs bas sefer and not bal peh, and so too we derive from gzeir shav zechira zechira. It says zocher asher osel chamolik, and it says ksov zos zikar bas sefer. And just like Basefer, in the case of Zikaron, is so too, we need Zikaron. Afkan Basefer, the Zikir Samolik Tarklios Basefer, and therefore Karabal Pelo Yotza. So in a sense, the Gemara's Yalfusa is a sort of a string. It's one connected to the other. That once we know that Zechira requires Kriya, and then we go back to the Pasuk Sov Zos Zikaron Basefer, and then we have a Gezerah Shava to Megillah, and Megillah's Nizkarim is also Basefer. So as far as the Kiyum of Zechira's Maisa Molik is concerned, do we need a Gezerah Shava of Zechira to Sov Zos Zikaron Basefer in order to prove that Amalek, Zechiras Amalek needs Bas Sefer? It could be we don't even really need a Gzer Shava for that, getting us back to Zohar, Yisashar Asal Chalamok, because the Pasuk says Ksov Zol Zikar Bas Sefer, which means that Zechiras Amalek has to be Bas Sefer. And some of the Rishonim apparently do seem to indicate that Zechiras Amalek requires Bas Sefer. And if you take a look, for example, the Sefer Eshkol, he says, Shamati dahai mihai shmaitita the Zchiras Amolik Nami Sefer Boy, the Ehi Loboy Besefer, the Mikregula Nami Loboy Sefer, the Asya Zchiras Zchira the Amolik. So he doesn't say that Zchiras Amolik itself needs a Sefer because of the Xeris Shav of Zchiras Zchira, but rather, if Zechiris Amalek would not require a Sefer, the Mikra Megillah would not require a Sefer because of Zechiris Zechira Me'amalek. So the Gezeirah Shav of Zechiris Zechira from the Pasuk Zos Zikar Basefer, just like it says Basefer here too, it means Basefer. That's not a Yalfusa from Ksivas Maisa Amalek Basefer, but rather it's a Yalfusa of Zechiris Zechira. That Zechiras Megillah is derived from Zechiras Amalek. And Ksivas Maisa Amalek the Sefer is not a mitzvah of Ksiva unto itself, but the Ksiva of Maisa Amalek in a Sefer is in order to fulfill, it's a means to an end to fulfill Zechiras Maisa Amalek, which has to be by Sefer. And that's what it means, what it says in the Pasuk Zikaron Ba Sefer, that Ksiva is for the purpose of Zikaron, which means Zechiras Maisa Amalek, which has to be Bitoch HaSefer. And then we derive from Gzeirah Shavah that so too Kriyas HaMegillah, where it also says Zechira, that also requires Bas Sefer. So when the Gemara asks, Umimai Dahai Zechira Kriyahi Dilma Ibn Bialma, that's not a reference to Mikra Megillah, but rather to Zechiras Maisa Amalek, which is written in the Pasuk Ksov Zos Zikaron Basefer. If you look in the Arzaru and Hilchos Megillah, he says, Hai Zechira Dehosam, Mimai Dekriya Hidil Me'in Bialma, Harei Shepirchas HaGemara, we see that the Gemara's Kasha on Zechiras Maisa Molek, which is included in the Pasuk Ksov Zos Zikaron Basefer, the Gemara says, how do you know that the din is that you have to be Zocher Maisa Amalek Mitoch HaSefer and then derive Xeris Shavah to Megillah, that Kriyas HaMegillah also needs B'Sefer? Maybe Kriyas HaMolek, it's enough Be'iyun Balpeh. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to write the Maisa Amalek B'Sefer, that's for the purpose of reading it and studying it, but not Kriya Balpeh, Kriya Mitoch HaSefer. It just means studying it Mitoch HaSefer, but not a Maisa Kriya. So, for example, if somebody forgets the Maisa Amalek, let him look into the Sefer and remind himself. That's called Zechira or Iyun Bialma. But if somebody didn't forget Maisa Amalek, he can be Mekayim Zechira Balpeh. If somebody forgot Maisa Amalek, he doesn't have to read it out loud, Mitoch HaSefer, but just to be Ma'ayin in the Sefer, look inside and remind himself, Balpeh. And then again, if Zechiras HaMolek doesn't require Bas Sefer, Memela, we cannot derive through the Gzeirah Shavah that Mikra Megillah would require Sefer. And the Gemara answer is no. Ksov Zos Zikaron Bas Sefer, meaning to be Zocher Bepeh Mitoch HaSefer. And therefore it's got to be Mitoch HaSefer. Now the Ramban, in Parshas Vaschanon, on the Pasuk Lo Tosifu, writes, V'kach amru le'inyan mikra megillah arboyim u'shmona neviyim amdu lehem li'yisrael v'lo pichsu v'lo sifu al mashakosu b'torah chutz mi mikra megillah u'birshalmi megillah perkalfaloch ahay shmonu v'chamisha zkenim hoyu mitztarim al adovar amru k'siv eila ha'mitzvus u'marach ha'viyester rotzim v'chadish lanu dovar. So let's try to understand that the Gemara finds a smach from the Pasuk Ksov Zos Zikaron Basefer for the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. And if you look in Megillah Daf Zayin, Sholchulam Estel Chachom Kisvuni Lidoros, Sholchulah Lokasavti Loch Rashi says Shloshim, Shileshim, Bishloshim, Makomas Yeshlon, and Haskir, Mechamas Amalek, Ari, the Chsivas, Megillus Esther, is a Chsiva of Mechamas Amalek. And writing the Megillah is a Kiyum of the Mitzvah of Ksom, Zos, Zikar, Basafer. And the word Basafer goes on the Megillah. If that be the case, then when it says Ksov Zosi Karma Sefer, that's the Yisod of this din of Ksiva Basefer, and through that we fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Maisam Molek. That Zechiras Maisam Molek means you have to read it Mitoch HaSefer. So once we have the drasha Di Basefer of Basefer, it refers to Megillah, we can derive from that that a Megillah that's written in order to fulfill the mitzvah, the chov of Skiris Maisam Molek, the mitzvah Lizkar Maisam Molek, Bekriyas HaMegillah Mitoch HaSefer. And that's what the Yerushalmi means when it says, Motsu Smach LeMitzvahs Mikra Megillah Mehach Kra Dixiv Ksom Zosi Karma Sefer. And that's what the Ramban means when he says in Parshas Ki Tzeitze that if Kriyas Parshas HaMolek would be Minat Torah, then it would be a smach to Mikra Megillah Mea Torah, because Kriyas HaMegillah is a kiyum of Zechiras Maisa Molek. So let's look at the Mishnah and the Tesamid Beis. Three lines up from the bottom. It says, Ein Bein Shiloh LiYushalayim. So the Mishnah is now comparing Shiloh to Yushalayim. Shiloh has a din of a Beis HaMikdash. Keep in mind that when Klal Yisrael entered into the land, so initially during the 14 years when they were conquering the land, the Mishkan was on a temporary base in a place called Gilgal. And then from there they went to Shiloh. Shiloh was not just a temporary structure, it was a permanent structure. It was made of avonim, it was made of stones. They were real Samishkan. And this period of time of Shiloh continued for 369 years. And during that period of time, there was an Isur Bamos. You were not allowed to be makriv on your private mizbeach. And then, when Eli HaKohen died, there was a Churban of Shiloh. The Mishkan of Shiloh was destroyed. They built a Mishkan in Nov. And during that period of time, there was a Heter Bamos. The Mishkan in Nov lasted for 13 years until Shmuel died. And after Shmuel's death, they built a Mishkan in Givon, which was for 44 years in Givon, until Shlomo Melech builds the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, and that's called Beis Olamim. Now, from the time that Shlomo Melech builds the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, from that time on, there's never going to be a Heter Bamos. So during the period of Shiloh, there's no Heter Bamos. During the period of Beis Olamim, there's no Heter Bamos. But the unique part of Beis Olamim is that once Shlomo Melech builds the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, there'll never ever be a Heter Bamos. And that means even after Churban, and that's going to be the sugya that we're going to study today. But as far as Shiloh is concerned, there was an Iser Bamos during the period of Shiloh. But with the destruction of Shiloh, once again, there was a Heter Bamos. So we have a Heter Bamos during a number of periods of time in history. For example, during Gilgal, that's the first 14 years. Then we get into an Iser Bamos during Shiloh, but then we get into the Heter Bamos during Nov and Givon. So we have a Heter Bamos during Gilgal, Nov, and Givon. So basically, Shiloh has the same status as the Beis HaMikdash. But the Mishnah points out that there is one unique halacha which only applies to Shiloh, some sort of a gzeiras hakosev that the Torah created a special halacha in Shiloh. And that is as far as the achila of kachim kalim and maaser sheni. With regard to the Beis HaMikdash, you need what's called Lifnim min hachoma, right? There was a wall around Yerushalayim, and anywhere within the walls of Yerushalayim you could eat kachim kalim. That's called in the language of the Mishnah, if you say karbonis every day, nechol b'chol ha'ir, the entire city, that's within the chomos of the city. And the same din applies also to Maaser Sheni, which is separated on the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, has to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten within the chomos of Yerushalayim. However, with regard to Shiloh, there's a very unique halacha, and that's called Nechal B'chol HaRoeh. Now, what does that mean, Nechal B'chol HaRoeh? So the simple pshat, the way Rashi understands it, is that any place that you can stand on and you could see Shiloh, that's considered B'chol HaRoeh. And that's anywhere from which some sort of vantage point that you could see Shiloh. Now here's my focus Rishon. What does it mean you could see Shiloh? Does it mean you could see the Mishkan of Shiloh or any part of the city of Shiloh? That's going to be a machlokes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Chanan. But in any event, if you're located in a place where you could see Shiloh, then during that period of 369 years, you were able to eat Kodshim Kalim and Maisa Sheni. Now, there's another issue here in the Rishonim, which I'll just mention in passing. What about a place that I could see from Shiloh? Is that also called B'chol HaRoeh? In other words, does it go in both directions? If I'm outside of Shiloh and I can see Shiloh, that for sure is considered B'chol HaRoeh. If it's the other way around, I can see that place from Shiloh, but I cannot see Shiloh, that's going to be a Machlokas Rishonim too. Now, if I had time, or if we had time to go into this, the halacha B'chol HaRoeh, the Brisker Rav has a lot of Torah on B'chol HaRoeh. Now, the Mishnah goes on to tell us what is similar, what is the basic common denominator between Shiloh and Yerushalayim. And that's as far as Kodshi Kodshim are concerned. So Kodshi Kodshim, we know, includes, let's say, Chatos, Ola, Asham, all of the above are considered Kodshi Kodshim. Shlomim is Kodshim Kalim. However, there may be something called Shalmei Atzeres, which have a din, even though they're Shlomim, they may have a din of Kodshi Kodshim. But be that as it may, Kodshi Kodshim has to be eaten within the Azara. Now that's as far as the Beis HaMikdash is concerned. What about as far as Shiloh is concerned? So Shiloh didn't really have an Azara, but Shiloh had something parallel to an Azara, which is called a Chatzer. Now, in order to define a place for Kodshi Kodshim, Fachiz Kodshi Kodshim, we'll take Beis HaMikdash as a little bit simpler, that's the paradigm case, you need what's called Kloim. Now the word Kloim means curtains, but as far as we're concerned, the word Kloim is synonymous with the word Mechitzos. And their entire sugyas in Masechet Shavuos about how you sanctify an area for Achilas Kodshim, and the key of keys is what's called Mechitzos. You have to set up walls. And those walls sanctify all the areas that are encompassed by those walls. So for example, the Azara in the Beis HaMikdash, where you could eat Kodshim, Kodshi Kodshim, had to be surrounded by Kloim. That's called Lifnim Min HaKloim, inside the Kloim. So just like we saw before with Kodshim Kalim in Yerushalayim, the Yerushalayim means all the Hekef Choma, so too with regard to the Azara, you need what's called Hekef Kloim, or otherwise known as Mechitzos. And going into the Azara, now not everyone is allowed to go into the Azara. A Kohen could go into the Azara. Even a Kohen, I don't know if he could always go into the Azara. Maybe he has to be involved in the Avodah. He can't just go in for the sake of going into the Azara. I don't know. But surely a non-Kohen doesn't have any entrance into the Azara. Now later on we're going to talk about a place within the Beis HaMikdash that's even holier than the Azara. That's called the Heichal. And there also you need Kloim. You need special Mechitzos to surround the Heichal. But be that as it may, what about Shiloh? In Shiloh there was no such thing as an Azara. So that's where the Mishnah says, Kan v'kan, whether it's Shiloh or Yerushalayim, is Kodshe Kodshim Necholim Lifnim Min HaKloim, meaning Shiloh also has Kloim. Just that those Kloim surrounded the Chatzer of the Mishkan. So this was like outside the Mishkan. Outside the Mishkan itself of Shiloh, there was an area called the Chatzer, and the Chatzer was surrounded by Kloim. And that would sanctify the Chatzer as if it had the same status as the Azara in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, we're before Shlomo HaMelech, historically. And that's where you could eat Kodshe. And basically what the Mishnah is saying is that there may be just a technical difference between Shiloh and Beis HaMikdash, but they're really, really one and the same. And you could summarize this Mishnah by saying that what's unique about Shiloh is first and foremost this halach of kol haroeh, which has to do with kodshim kalim and ma'aser sheni, which means that you have an area that's outside the mechitzos, it's outside the Mishkan Shiloh, it's even outside of the city of Shiloh, and yet it has the status of Shiloh as far as kodshi kodshim and ma'aser sheni. That was a special kula that the Torah was mekil with regard to Shiloh.
Kodshim kalim, okay.
Yeah, and that's only kodshim kal. In kodshi kodshim, they're basically high nu high. Which means that you need kloyim. In this case of Beis HaMikdash, you need kloyim of the Azara. In the case of Shiloh, all you need is kloyim of the Chatzah. But now we get to the fundamental difference as far as Heter Bamos is concerned, and that's what the Mishnah goes on to say: Kedusha Shiloh Yesh Achrei Heter. Now we're turning to Daf Yud Amud Aleph, which means that after the Churban of Shiloh, there was again a period of Heter Bamos, like we said in Gilgal Nov, those periods of time, right? What did I mention? Gilgal, Nov, and Givon, right? Those three periods of time.
Gilgal was before Shiloh.
So. Gilgal was first, but the same thing applies after the Churban of Shiloh. And basically, what this means is that until Shlomo HaMelech sets up the what's called the Beis Olamim, then there's always going to be a Heter Bamos, even in a Beis HaMikdash, meaning despite the fact that Shiloh is a Beis HaMikdash, we're not denying that Shiloh has the status of a Beis HaMikdash. I mean, you'll eat Kodshim Kalim, you'll eat Kodshim Kodshim, everything is generated by Shiloh. There's Mizbeach in Shiloh, and we'll be Makriv all the Karbonos, so we'll eat all the Karbonos, everything is 100%. But the only difference is that you haven't yet set up a Beis Olamim. What's the significance of a Beis Olamim? Beis Olamim means once it comes into existence, there will never ever be a Heter Bamos. Whereas Shiloh doesn't have that status of a Beis Olamim. And if as long as Shiloh is built, it has a din of a Beis HaMikdash. And if there's a Beis HaMikdash, then there's no Heter Bamos. You can't bring Karbonos outside the Beis HaMikdash. But once that Beis HaMikdash is gone and Shiloh is destroyed, then we go back to a Heter Bamos. Not so in the case of Yerushalayim and at Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo. That's called the Beis Olamim, and that means that there will never ever be a Heter Bamos, which means that according to our Mishnah, if today I would want to bring a carbon on a Bama, I would not be allowed to do so according to our Mishnah. Later on we'll see Rabbi Yitzchak in the Gemara disagrees with this, and the question is what Tana could he stand upon, you know, whose shoulders is he standing upon? But as far as that Mishnah is concerned, it's Chad V'Cholok, you know, there's no question about it. Once Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beis HaMikdash, that's it. From now on, for all eternity, there's never ever going to be a Heter Bamos. It's a Mokom HaShem Yivchar HaShem, HaShem chose it, and the Kiddush of that place is eternal, and there will never be a Heter Bamos.
How was Shiloh destroyed? What was the?
The question is, was it ever totally?
I don't know. I'm not sure. If you like, I'll try to.
When you say destroyed, like there was an incident that it was destroyed.
Yeah. The bias was completely destroyed. It was built of avon. It was a stone building.
No, but someone just like from the Yudit.
I don't remember if it was the Plishtim. I don't.
Okay. So all right. Something small.
Now, our sugya, which you could call it the sugya Rabbi Yitzchak, is going to embark upon the following mission, if you will. Is there a Heter Bamos Bizman HaZeh? Again, according to our Mishnah here, Megillah, there's no doubt about it. There's no Heter Bamos Bizman HaZeh, because Kedushas Yushlaim Ein Lachrel Heter. However, this sugya Rabbi Yitzchak is going to raise the possibility that we could bring a carbon even today. Even today, right, in the morning in Obama. Okay, so let me just mention here a little bit of introductory material to what's called Beis Chonya. Now, there was a great Kohen Gadol, he was called Shimon HaTzadik, and his son, Chonya, okay, he built a Bama in Mitzrayim, in Alexandria of Mitzrayim, and he was Makriv Karbonos, and there's going to be a gigantic Machlokas Tanoim in the Sefer Menachos about what the nature and the purpose of this, what's called Beis Chanyo, this Bama of Chanyo. Was it L'Shem Shamayim? Or was it L'Shem Avodah Zarah? So our sugya here of Rabbi Yitzchak is going to assume that Beis Chanyo was built L'Shem Shamayim, and Chanyo brought Karbonos, and we too can bring Karbonos in Beis Chanyo, insofar as it's a Bama.
This is in Beit Sheni, period.
This is after the Churban of Bais Rishon, before the period of Bais Sheni. So we're in the middle between the two batim. And the question is, what's the status?
Shimon HaTzadik was back in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
And now this question is, what's the status between the two batim? Even after the Churban of Bais, is there a Heter Bamos? Mm-hmm. Now, again, if you assume that Chanyo, the son of Shimon HaTzadik, was L'Shem Shamayim, and he was makir bamos in Mitzrayim, then it means that after the churban of the first bayis, there was a heter bamos. So, for example, during the period of Shiloh, during the period of Beis HaMikdash, those two periods of time, for sure there was no heter bamos. But after the churban, now should we say that with the churban, the kedusha of Yerushalayim, the kedusha of Beis HaMikdash is completely gone, it's eradicated. And now we go back to the period of time which is similar to Novan Givon that we spoke about before, where there was a Heter Bamos. So what is the period of time after Churban Beis HaMikdash? Do we go back to the Heter Bamos like we did in the case of Churban Shiloh? Or, like our Mishnah insists, no. That Shiloh Luchud and Beis HaMikdash Luchud. As far as Shiloh is concerned, with its Churban we go back to the Heter Bamos. But as far as Beis HaMikdash is concerned, the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash, once built by Shlomo, is an eternal sanctity, and there's no heter bamos. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Shamati Shemakrivim beBeis Chanyo bizman hazeh. So he had some sort of a tradition that he received from his Rebbeim, that in our time we could be makriv on a bama. And it's interesting, there's a whole discussion here about where you could set up a bama. It seems from Rabbi Yitzchak, since Beis Chanyo was a Mitzrayim, that you could set up a Bama even in Chutz Laretz. You don't even need Eretz Yisrael. So anywhere on the face of the planet, you could set up a Bama. And why is that? Because just like Beis Chanyo, between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, was Liachar Churban, so there's no Beis HaMikdash standing, so there's no Kedushas Beis HaMikdash, and therefore you're allowed to be Makrim on a Bama. So to Bizman HaZeh, after the Churban of Bais Sheni, you can be makriv anywhere on the face of the earth on a bama. Kasavar. Now there are two premises that Rabbi Yitzchak is operating with that the Gemara spells out. Now, number one, Beis Chanyo lav Beis Avodah Zarah. We could derive conclusions about from Beis Chanyo for halacha lemaisa, because Beis Chanyo was not some sort of an idol worship, but rather it was l'shem shamayim. But number two, and this is more important for us, because the sugya of whether Chanyo was L'Shem Shemayim or not is a sugya in Menachos, that's not for us. But what we do have to know for our sugya is the second premise of Rabbi Yitzchak. And the second postulate or principle that underlies Rabbi Yitzchak is the Kasavar, Kiddusha Rishona Kiddusha L'Shaita V'lo Kiddusha L'Asid Lavo. When Shlomo Melch builds the Beis HaMikdash, you have a sanctity, a period of sanctity, let's say it's 410 years while the Mikdash stands, and during that period of time you have Kedushas Beis HaMikdash, which generates an Isur Bama. But once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, remember we discussed earlier that Kedushas Beis HaMikdash depends upon Mechitzos. So now you no longer have the Mechitzos, they're completely destroyed. So then we go back to the period of Heter Bamos. And why is that? Because the Kedusha of Shlomo Melech was a temporary Kedusha that was totally dependent upon the Mechitzos. Once this Churban and the Mechitzos are down, then there's no Kedusha. The place has the same status as anywhere else on the face of the earth. And there's a Heter Bamos. And therefore, Beis Chanyo was legitimate because it was L'Shem Shamayim, it was in Chutz Laretz, but during the period of Churban. Now the Gemara wants to explain what is the source in the Torah, if there is such a source, for what's called Kedusha Rishona Kiddusha L'Shaita V'lo Kiddusha L'Asid Lavo. It's to give us a source, a basis for Rabbi Yitzchak's conclusion based on what he heard, namely that the Kedusha of Shlomo Melech was only a temporary Kedusha. So we go back now to the Parsha of Iser Bamos. And the Torah says, Lo sasun kechol asher anachnu osim po hayom ish kol hayosha v'yeinov.
That part of the pasuk you don't have in your Gemara, but then it says ki lo basem ad ata el hamenucha vi el hanachlo. In other words, whenever you don't have a period of what's called menucha or a period of nachla, then you're allowed to what's called ish kola yashabena, meaning you're allowed to bring a carbon on a bama. So there are only two periods of time which are singled out for an Isur Bama. And those are the periods of Menucha and Nachla. What are these two periods? So the Gemara Darshan said, Menucha zu Shiloh. In other words, once they set up the Mishkan in Shiloh, that was a period of Menucha. And that would generate an Isur of Ish Kol HaYashabeinu, etc. And Nachla zu Yerushalayim. Now, we know that Shiloh was only a Kedushas Mechitzos, which means that as long as it stood, it had Kedusha. That was certainly Kidshal Shaita Velo Kidshal Asin Lavo. It was a temporary Kedusha. Now, in this same Pasuk, the Torah indicates that Yerushalayim has a Kedusha, apparently the same identical Kedusha as Shiloh. Umakish Nachlo Menucha. The Torah combines them into one. And that Hekish teaches us that Ma Menucha, just like in the case of Shiloh, Yesh Achrei Heter, which means again, as we said over and over again, the Kedusha of Shiloh is a Kedushas Mechitzos. It's not an eternal Kedusha. It's only a temporary Kedusha as long as the building is alive and well. Is Afnachla, so to Yerushalayim, is a Kedushas Mechitzos. And in the case of Yerushalayim, we would have the Mechitzos around Yerushalayim. In the case of the Beis HaMikdash, it would be the Mechitzos that Shlomo built. Is Yesh Achrei Heter. As long as the Mechitzos are up, that sanctifies the place that's surrounded by the mechitza. It's encompassed by the mechitza, and that would generate an Isur Bama. But Yesh Achrei Heter means after the mechitzos, the structure of the Beis HaMikdash is torn down, then we go back to a period of Heter Bama. So there's no difference between Shiloh, which is called Menucha, and Yerushalayim, which is called Nachla. In both cases, says Rabbi Yitzchak, we're going to have a heter bamos because the Kedusha is only a temporary Kedusha. And that Kedusha is totally contingent on the mechitzos and the structure being alive and well. Once the structure is taken down, then there's a heter bamos because the Kedusha is gone. The Kedusha is generated by and is sustained by the mechitzos of the Beis HaMikdash. And that means that Beis Chanyo was perfectly legitimate, and it's paradigmic of anyone at any time throughout history, as long as there's no Beis HaMikdash standing, to build a Bama and bring a carbon on a Bama. Now, all this is against our Mishnah. And therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak, at some point, is going to deny that he ever said it. Very strange Gemara. Amru Leh. So the Chaverim, the Chachamim, turn to Rabbi Yitzchak and they say to him, Amrit, did you actually say such a thing? As they were like amazed, they were floored, flabbergasted by the fact that he, Rabbi Yitzchak, maintained that you're allowed to be makriv in Beis Chanyo Bizman Hazeh. Amalulo, you know, he saw how angry they were. So he,
who, me?
Yeah. This, like, if you know anything about brisk, if you know anything about the briskers, they'll say, I never said such a thing. You know? Yeah. Whatever you say in quote them, they'll always deny that he said it. But Amar Rava, Ha'elo Kim, meaning B'loshen Shvua, Amra, I heard it from Rabbi Yitzchak. So he can't, Ugamira Lehvinayim, and he taught it to us. So we studied it by him. The only possibility here, says the Gemara, is that maybe Rabbi Yitzchak backtracked. You know, he changed his mind. So the Gemara says, "My time of kahadar bay." So why is it when we asked it, he denied it? He contradicted us. He said, "I never said it." Mishum de kasha de Rabbi Mori, because Rabbi Mori is going to ask from our Mishnah, and it's impossible to contradict our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is a stam Mishnah. There doesn't seem to be anyone who denies our Mishnah. Mostly Rabbi Mori. Rabbi Mori asked him the following question. I have a good friend, Maury. I'm not sure if he's related to this Maury. Yeah. Anyway, so what was Maury's question? He said, let's read our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Kedusha Shiloh, Yesh Achrei Heter, Kedusha Shiloh, Ein Achrei Heter. The basic fundamental contrast between Shiloh and Yerushalayim, I mean, L'chumra in terms of Yerushalayim, again, there's a chumra, so to speak, in Shiloh, that Shiloh has the din of Kol HaRoa, as far as Kodshim Kalim Ma'isashen. But as far as the Etzem Kedusha is concerned, here the Kedusha is Yerushalayim by far surpasses that of Shiloh. because with regard to Shiloh, with its destruction, there's a heter bamus. But the Mishnah says that with regard to Yerushalayim, even despite its destruction, ein achrei heter, you can't bring it on a bama. So how could Rav Yitzchak say that we're allowed to be makriv in base hanyu b'zman hazeh? Viod, and furthermore, Disnani, now the Gemara invokes a Mishnah in Maseth Zvachim, Mishabo Yerushalayim, Nesru Abamos. The Mishnah says explicitly that once they got to Yerushalayim, by the way, Rabbi Osei, remind me later, I want to talk to you about this language, Mishabo Yerushalayim. It doesn't say Mishabono is based on Migdash. I have a little stickle chiddush on this of my own. But anyway, Mishabo Yerushalayim, Nesru Abamos. You could add the word li'olam if you like, meaning there would never ever be a heter bama after they came to Yerushalayim. Vehi hoysol enachla, meaning don't compare Yerushalayim to Shiloh and say that the nachla of Yerushalayim is like the menucha of Shiloh. That's not so. But nachla means nachlas olam. And when it says kilo bosem el anachla, it means because you haven't gotten to Yerushalayim yet, and therefore there's a heter bamos. But and ish kol yosher beinu. But after you get to Yerushalayim, that's it. The door is closed. There'll never ever be a possibility of heter bamos. At this point, the Gemara wants to suggest that in his havamina, meaning in his first presentation, Rabbi Yitzchak held that kedusha rishon and kidshel shaita v'lo kidshel asin lavo in the hekesh between Menucha and Nachla, between Shiloh and Yerushalayim, that Yerushalayim is only a temporary Kedusha, he, meaning Rabbi Yitzchak, was relying on, he's standing on the shoulders of some Tana, not the Tana of our Mishnah. Again, I can't re-emphasize this over and over again enough, that our Mishnah is clear, there's no doubt about it. There's no heter bamos. The Kedusha of Yerushalayim is a base olamim. It's a Kedusha olamim. It's eternal. But was there somewhere on the face of the halachic world some Tana who really maintained that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim was only a temporary Kedusha, and with Churban the Kedusha is gone? And the Gemara claims Tanoihi. In fact, this is a machlokas Tanoi. Now, by way of introduction, we're about to study a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua revolves around the following issue. We're talking about Ezra, we're talking about Aliyah Shnia, we're talking about Beis HaMikdash HaSheni, and we're talking about a period of time in which Ezra built the Beis HaMikdash, the second Mikdash. This period of time lasted for 22 years. And the reason it took so long is because there were many periods, within the 22-year period, there were many times that the progress was halted. I'll read it to you out loud. He says, "Hizkilu livnoso k'sha'olu mibavel li'eretz Yisrael b'mei Koresh." So the king decided, he's pulling his troops out of Syria, whatever it is. He changed his mind. So he said, no, we're not going to allow the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Until finally, there was another guy by the name of Dariush. Okay, he has to do with Megillah. We'll get back to him when we get to the Agadita. But he allowed the Mikdash to be built. Okay, so this is the Rashi here, goes through the whole thing, and basically we have a 22-year period. Now, what happens during this 22-year period? So that question that I asked you, what happens, has two parts to it. One is a physical part, meaning in reality what happened, but one is more of a halachic part. What do I mean? Lamaisa befall, if you ask me, see us what happened, they built what's called Kloim. Kloim are those mechitzos that we spoke about before. And now we're going to get into mechitzos not just around the Azara, right? But also the special mechitzos or kloim that are around the Heichal. Remember, the Heichal has an even greater sanctity than the Azara. So b'metzias, nobody denies that during the period of Ezra, when they built the second base on Migdash, they made these kloim, these mechitzos around the Heichal and around the Azara. We'll soon see that the Bryce is going to go into a little distinction, sort of minute detail about how exactly they built the kloim. Were they standing on the inside? Were they standing on the outside? But that's totally secondary. You can get so sidetracked here, off the main path, it's like a cinch, Yeah. But what we really want to know is, halachically, did they need the kloim? Now again, At the end of this whole sugya, we're going to have to ask the question, well, if they didn't need the climb, why did they bother with the climb? But we're not ready for that question. But the answer to that question is very technical. It's very secondary. You know, if it's like an engineering issue. If they needed the climb for a different reason. But did they need climb to set up what's called Kedushas Migdash, whether it's Kedushas Heichal, whether Kedushas Azara? And this is going to be a Machlokas Tanoim. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, the first Tana that we see here, they needed those Kloyim. And all the dinim of Kloyim and Mechitzos that applied during Bais Rishon when Shlomo built the Mikdash applied during Bais Sheni when Ezra built the Beis HaMikdash, this Mikdash Sheni. Which means that in the 70-year period between Churban Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni, there was no Kedushas Mikdash. So basically Ezra, according to Rabbi Eliezer, was starting from scratch. He had to generate Kedushas Mikdash, which means that Kidshal Ashaitim Alo Kidshal Asin Lavo. Now, all the Mefarshim point out, this is a Rashba, which I can read to you by Richus, that whatever conclusion we come to as far as Migdash Rishon, the same applies to Migdash Shein. Frankly, if I had another month of my life, I would really want to understand this. But you have to accept it almost as axiomatic, because again, the Gemara is focused on the issue whether we can build a Bama Bizman HaZeh after Churban Bayis Sheni. So I could have said, wait a minute, even if Rabbi Eliezer said that Ezra had to be Makadish the second bias, because after the Churban of the first bias, the Kedusha was gone, and he had to start from scratch. But maybe Ezra's Beis HaMikdash was Kitchel HaShaitim and Kitchel HaSin Lava. So the Rashba says the Gemara here is operating with the opposite premise, an absolute equation between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. So if Rabbi Eliezer is based on the premise, the principle, I would say, that if Bayis Rishon is gone, meaning after the Churban, then the whole deal is off, and the Kedusha is gone, then the same logic is going to apply to Bayis Sheni, meaning Ezra did not have any superpowers that would go beyond that of Shlomo HaMelech. So if Shlomo HaMelech was only achieving what we call Kedushas Mechitzos, then the same is true for Ezra, and he was also setting up Kedushas Mechitzos, which means that just like Shlomo HaMelech's bias is temporary and is contingent on the existence of the Mechitzos, Mechitzos up, there is Kedusha and Isur Bama, Mechitzos down, there is no Kedusha and there's a Heter Bama, so too the same principles apply to Ezra for Bayis Sheni. So let's see, where did Rabbi Eliezer say that Ezra needed a Kiddush to sanctify Bayis Sheni by setting up Kloyim? So that's this brisa here that says that Shayubonim beHeichal. Now the word Heichal here, he's only introducing a slightly different engineering process when they set up the Kloyim between the Heichal as opposed to the Azorah. Both needed Mechitzos. Again, the Heichal had Mechitzos for what's called the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and the Azorah needed Mechitzos for the Mizbeach HaChitzon, otherwise known as the Mizbeach HaShel Nechoshes. And each one, whether it's the Heichal or the Azor, needed Mechitza, needed Kloyim. There's one technical engineering difference. They both needed Osim Kloyim a Heichal, the Osim Kloyim l'Azor. But what's the difference? The question is, those builders, those contractors who were hired and commissioned to build the Kloyim, where were they allowed to stand? And here's the difference between a Heichal and the Azor. Anyone could go into there are heterim to go into the Azor, but not Heichal. Heichal has very strict laws about what you're going in. So what they had to do is figure out a way that they could set up these Kloyim that would surround and encompass the Heichal without allowing the Unim, the experts, the builders, to go into the Heichal. So what did they do? Hayubonim mibachutz. In other words, they stood outside of the area that was designated for the Heichal, and there they set up the Kloyim. The Ba'azorah, but in conscience, in the case of the Azorah, where there was much more leniency, and you could allow the Umnim, just like the Kohanim had to go into the Azor for the sake of the Avodah, so to the Umnim were allowed to enter into the Azor for the sake of the Binyan, is Bonim Mibafnim. They would enter into the Azorah and build the Kohanim. So I don't want you to get sidetracked here. You know, this technical issue about where they stood when they built the Kohanim is not relevant to us. What's relevant to us, and you could really lose the forest for the trees, and if we're learning this pretty fast, you know, you gotta find your shortcuts, because otherwise you get sidetracked, It means that Rabbi Eliezer holds that Ezra needed desperately, in order to sanctify the Migdash Sheni, to build Klaim, to build the Mechitzas. He could not rely on the original Mechitzas of Shlomo Melch, which were destroyed. And that's called Kidshal L'Shaitav, a low Kidshal L'Sidlam. The Omer Rabbi Yeshua, here's the second opinion. And Rabbi Yeshua says, Shamati Shemakrivim Afal Pi Shein Bayis V'Ochlin Kochi Kochim Afal Pi She'en Kloyim Pili Ployim. It's an unbelievable statement of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is saying that if you get yourself located in the right place, right, you could bring Karbonos on the Mizbeach without a Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Osa, do you realize the implications here? Just set up a Beis HaMikdash on the Mokom HaMikdash and start shechting away. You know, start bringing all your Karbonos. And you can even eat the Karbonos. Yeah, again, you know, kachim have to eat the Azara, but you could eat it. Where are the Klaim? Rebbeinu Shalom. There are no Mechitzas. There are no Mechitzas around the Beis HaMikdash. There are no Mechitzas around the Azara. But that's called Makrivim Afal Pishein Bayis. Just, you should know historically, I don't know if you know about this, there was a tremendous pulmus, how do you say pulmus in English, a controversy, about bringing the Korban Pesach Bizman Hazeh. This is about 100 and maybe 20 years ago, at the time of Kalisher and the Chovei Tzion, you know, the original religious Zionist movement. And whether you could bring a Korban Pesach, it all depends on this one sugya that we're learning now, where the Makrivim Afal Pishein Bayis. In any event, basically what underlies Rabbi Yeshua, says the Gemara, "Mipnei shekedusha rishona kiddush l'shaita v'kiddush l'asid lov." There was no need to have a new kiddush at the time of Ezra for Bayis Sheni. The original kiddush of Shlomo Melech was a kiddush that even covered Bayis Sheni. So here, Moshe, I want to read to you a few lines. Again, I know, Moshe, we're always in a rush, but I feel compelled to read this.
There's
thing.
No rush, but
okay. No, I mean, you know, I'm juggling here because we, you know, we're about to start the Agadah to Mitzvah Shem. I hope tomorrow we'll start like 9 glad of Agadah. You know, honest. Wish me luck on that.
You just mentioned the whole thing about the Korban Pesach. I wouldn't mind a digression to learn about that. Like,
we could have a separate shiur. You just have to tell me when you're free. I mean, I would have to. There's a tremendous controversy about whether we can bring the Korban Pesach in our time. But I just want to read to you. This is a book called Kovetz Chidush in Torah, which is based on Rav Soloveitchik's written essays. I mean, it's a very small book because Rav Soloveitchik wrote very little during his lifetime and published not even a half a percentage of 1% of his edition. But anyway, he says the following. I'm just going to read to you. I went through this morning at 4 a.m., but I underlined certain, you know, from a long, long piece here. He says, Bishilo, tekef kishibotlu, as soon as there was Churban, Hutru Abamos. However, he says, Li'achash and Nivna Migdash B'Yushalayim, and this is basically Rabbi Yeshua and now a Mishnah here, Megillah, Nesru Abamos Li'ol. Now, he tells you that there's an unbelievable Chiddush here in this Tosus, Dibra Maso de Kuli Alma. So I started learning this Tosus and I gave up. I realized I need a couple of weeks on this Tosus. But let me just tell you what Rav Soloveitchik derived from this Tosus. He says the following. He says, Mavur b'Tosus Megillah daf Yudam and Aleph, Dira Maskel de Kule, the Afleman, the Omer Lokid Shal Yosid Lavo. He says, even if you hold the Kedushas Migdash is Lokid Shal Yosid Lavo, Nesru Abamos. Okay, so again, this Tosus is way, you know, this is not our sugya. Tosus obviously is quoting other sugyas to prove, based on reconciling different theories, that even if I would hold low kitchalos in lovo, I could still come to the conclusion that there's an iser bamos li'olam. And here, Rav Soloveitchik is machadish a bomb chiddush. This is like revolutionary. He says the following: the legavi shilo, Ha'oser shal abamos hu etzem ha-migdash. We'll get back to that in a minute. What he means by etzem ha-migdash. Mi'im ken kishacharev is batlo kedusha. So ubatel ha-oser v'heter abamos. V'hutru abamos. So the oser is the kedushas migdash. And with the churban of the Beis HaMikdash, the kedusha is gone and the iser bama is gone. That's as far as Shiloh is concerned. Because Shiloh is just etzem ha-migdash. However, Shlomo HaMelech built something which is, goes way beyond the Etzem HaMikdash. And that, he says, is called Beis HaBechira. Beis HaBechira means over and over, especially in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah says, HaMokom HaShem Yivchar HaShem. And what is that Makom Asher Yivka Hashem? The Torah doesn't specify exactly where it is, but Shlomo HaMelech, again, this is also complicated, it's based on David HaMelech really, but Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beis HaMikdash on the Makom Asher Yivka Hashem. And what does that mean? What's the significance of HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem? The Rambam has a whole section in his Mishnah Torah called Hilchos Beis HaBechira. What does Beis HaBechira mean? Just call it a Beis HaMikdash. No. Beis HaBechira is fundamentally different than a Beis HaMikdash. Again, you'll never hear this anywhere. This is revolutionary. He says, what's a Beis HaBechira? Shenivchar li'olamim v'ein shum makom acher. He says, the whole machlokas about kitchel shaita and kitchel asid love is about kedushas migdash, and whether you have to rebuild the mechitzos. And did Ezra rebuild the kliyim for technical reasons that we'll soon see later, or because he needed to be makadish the migdash? So that's 2 days in the Gemara. But as far as Beis HaBechira is concerned, everybody agrees that Shlomo HaMelech designated a Beis HaBechira, and I'll fast forward to the. Again, this is a lot, I'm skipping a lot, but he says the following. Rabbi Moshe, see if you can hear, this is very abstract. He says the following. That even though the Gemara says over and over again, Ein Kiddush El B'Shas Binyan, which means that the Kiddush of Beis HaMikdash was only when Shlomo HaMelech actually built the Mechitzos, Din Ze Nemar Rak L'Gabi Kiddushas Migdash, Dehainu Kiddushas Mechitzos, and therefore Nafla Mechitzos. Now you get into the machlokus where the kitchel l'shaita v'kitch l'asol lo kitch l'asol lo, and if lo kitch l'asol lo, meaning the kedusha of the mechitzas is bata, masha ein kein chalos beis habechira, that's a whole different entity who didn't kedushas makom v'ein ashayeches l'mechitzas v'gam liachar churban kedusha zu l'betela, and therefore there's an iser bamos. You hear this, Rav Moshe? There's a new concept here that he's introducing, which is called Kedusha's Beis HaBechira. And he says Beis HaBechira, everybody agrees, is not dependent upon Mechitzos. So our whole issue about Kitchel Shai to Lo Kitchel, so whether Ezra would have to set up the Mechitzos again because the Mechitzos were down, was the original Kedusha gone? That all is an issue and a machlokas with regard to Kedusha's Migdash, because Kedusha's Migdash is a Kedusha's Mechitzos. And the structure is gone. But in the case of Beis HaBechira, that's how Makom Asher Yivchar, once Shlomo HaMelech has achieved Makom Asher Yivchar, then there's never ever going to be a heter. But again, for that we'd have to learn this whole long Tosus. But without this Tosus, the Gemara seems to assume at this point that whether or not there's a heter bomos depends upon Kitchel Shaitu Lo Kitchel Aso. So insofar as Rabbi Eleza holds Lo Kitchel Asid Lovo, it means that you needed a new set of mechitzos to replace the old set that were gone. Then after those mechitzos are gone, there's a heter bomos. And the Rashba says that is not only during the 70-year period between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, but also after the Churban of Bayis Sheni, even Bizman HaZeh. That's where Rabbi Yitzchak, when he told us about Makrivim Bebeis Chanyo Bizman HaZeh, he was standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua says, no. In Makrivim Afal Pishein Bayis. I don't need a bias. I don't need mechitzos. I don't need klon. I mean, the Gemara is going to ask, so why did Ezra bother with the klon? But basically, according to Rabbi Yeshua, we're holding Kiddushin L'Shaitim and Kiddushin L'Asid Lava. That even the Kiddushas Beis HaMikdash itself is a separate entity that exists independent of the Mechitzos. So at this point, I'll just read to you, and then we'll take a break, because we're about halfway through the sugya, but hopefully tomorrow we'll finish the sugya, and maybe we'll even make a scholar on the Agadah. He says, Ata, at this point, Hevina ha-Gemara, the Gemara understood, Shrabi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua Nechleku, Ha'im Osu Kloyim Lehechal B'Shas, B'Eis Shebona Ezra's B'Yesheni. Did Ezra find it necessary to build Kloyim? Again, later on the Gemara is going to say, well, he did build Kloyim, this we know, so why did he have to do so? Hatam shetzarech l'kloyim lehechal mishum dekolzman she'ein choma lehechal adayim lo huchshar ha-mizbeach lahakriv olav karbonos. Because the Torah says that the karbonos require Hashem Pesach o'el moed. So what's the old moed if not the mechitzos? But al kaf nechleku Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Ha'im gam b'bayis sheni v'bnias b'bayis sheni hutzruchu lasos klon. Was it necessary for the kedusha itself to replace the klon? V'yisod ha'machlokas hu ha'im kedusha rishon ha'kidusha gam liyosid lo. Rabbi Yeshua, Kitcha Rishayna, Kitcha L'shaita, V'kitcha Gamli Yosin Lavo, is there for B'nias Bayis Sheni. They could be makriv of the Korban even during the 22 years before they set up the Kalayim. And why do they have to set up the Kalayim? The Gemara is going to invoke a principle called Mishum Tzni'usa, a certain halach of Kavod, that for the sake of Kavod, we don't want the workers to take a look and gaze and concentrate on the Heichal, so they built Kalayim. But that's Mishum Tzniusa. But as far as the Kedushas Makom is concerned, he says, Afilu lelo chomu klaim, yesh kan Kedushas Migdash, and therefore they could bring Karbonos, and lo yutzrichim lachzor l'kadish l'heichal v'yasam izbeach. That's all according to Rabbi Yoshua. Michlal, but so by process of elimination, why did Rabbi Lezer require that they build the klaim? Again, you could have said that even Rabbi Lezer was operating Mishum Tzniusa. It's a technicality. But it seems that from the Braisa, there's a fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua about whether these machitzas were necessary. So Rabbi Lezer took the position that the machitzas were necessary. Why? Savar, because he held that lo kidsha lasid lavo, that the kedusha of Bais Rishon of Shlomo was only a temporary contingent kedusha that depends upon the mechitzos. And therefore, in the case of Bayis Sheni, when the mechitzos are down after Churban Bayis Sheni, once again, there's no kedusha, there's nothing to generate an Isur Boma, and hence, Rabbi Yitzchak says that makrivim bebeis chanya. So again, our Mishnah, and this is also a Mishnah in Zvachim, is of the opinion that once Shlomo Melech was Mekadesh Yerushalayim, and it was an Isur Bamos, they were never Mutar Liolam, it was always Aser. However, Rabbi Yitzchak, he's standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Eliezer, so he has a Tana to stand on. At the end, he rescinds his original position because of our Mishnah. And the original position, based on Rabbi Eliezer, was that Kitchel Shaitim alo Kitchel Asad Lava, which means that everything depends upon the existence of the Mechitzos. When the Mechitzos go down, the Kedusha goes down. That's true both for Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni. And therefore, Makrivim, Bebeis Chanyo, Bebama, and even in Chutz Laret, Bizmanazim. So Rabbi Ose, we're up to Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi, Bulineda, we're mamish in the middle of a breath. It's like Vedashim Ha'achas, but what can I do? You know, the clock is at worst.